Hello, my name is Ashley Anap, ashleyanap.com. Today is November 17th, 2014. I'm an artist and writer. This was my second attempt at doing today's art sound off. The first one turned into a rant. So I just deleted it because I rant way too much. It's really bad. So I'm not even going to touch on the topics that I was going to talk about. What did I do today? I wrote 3,000 words for my story, not in one sitting. I did 1,000 in the morning, did some chores, came back, did the next 2,000. That's for NaNoWriMo. I haven't done anything for Funny Potions yet. I'm really beating myself up about that. I left it off at, like, chapter 15. I need to go back and edit it, and I also need to finish reading The Fourth Element. I washed my dog today. He's a poodle, so it took a little while. And, that was kind of in the middle of the day. I also drew my comic a little bit in the morning while watching a documentary called Happy, which was enjoyable, but it kind of left the introvert out in the cold. I kind of wonder if somehow introverts grabbed hold of society and engineered it for them. Because a lot of the examples, like every single one of the examples they showed, well, not one of them. One of them was I could see working the introvert lifestyle. But all the other ones were like an introvert's nightmare. They're like, yeah, the key to true, pure, you know, unbridled joy and happiness is living in a very tight community where you get together with like 40 different people every time you eat lunch, and you have really small spaces, like a tribal sort of all up in everybody's face all the time community. And I was like, man, I always try to get out of family reunions when I was a kid, you know, and I don't know, I guess I will never be truly happy, because every single resource I look at on happiness says, I just got a text, says if you want to be happy, go out and surround yourself with like people, just like, you know, dozens of them. Anyways, I was looking at that because I was looking at facts about the hedonic treadmill after watching a PBS Idea Channel video about it. And then I liked that video and then I mentioned that documentary, so I watched it. And basically, the hedonic treadmill is very interesting in that, you know, we always find this base level of happiness, and material gains don't necessarily affect it. I mean, it does affect it, and people who think there's no difference between someone who earns $30,000 and someone who earns $1,000,000 are deluding themselves. Because what wealth gives you is choice, but wealth can also take away choice depending on how it is pursued and your available abilities, talents, and circumstances that you're born into. Some that you can control, but a lot of them that you can't. But I think that certain forms of wealth do give you more choice, and with that choice, you can have the opportunity to find more happiness. But if you have to sacrifice things that truly make you happy, like bonds with friends and family, flow state, or the opportunity to make a difference in your community, to meaningful work, you know, that can reduce your happiness too. And as an artist, flow state is something that I think a lot of us really enjoy getting into, and it might be what attracted us to drawing and writing in the first place. And then it's at odds sometimes with community, but then it also gives you, like, a neutral bonding spot to connect with people, too, which can be cool. So I watched that today while I worked on my comic, and I wrote today, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, so I don't know how I feel about all this stuff. It's really interesting, and this sounds really sad. I'm not sad at all. I'm sleepy. I ate like 2 enchiladas. That made me sleepy because they had a lot of cheese. But that was so ridiculous. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe I'm afraid I'm on the hedonic treadmill. Maybe I'm like, what am I running towards? But I think there's a difference between that and wanting to be self-sustaining, because right now my pursuit of art or whatever has been entirely subsidized by other people. In the beginning it was subsidized by grants, then student loans, and now it's subsidized by my husband. And, you know, he's really happy about it, but I'm getting older and older, and I need to get to a skill level and an output level where I don't have to be entirely subsidized by other people. And although at first I might worry about, am I getting shallow, am I getting, you know, I should just do it for the love of the work, I think there's also something really important about not wanting to be entirely subsidized by others. That is, like, a universal moral tenet across all cultures. What I learned in one of those classes I took in the spring on ethics and morality is there's not many things that are universals, but disliking freeloaders is definitely a universal. Of course, I'm not truly a freeloader, it's just we have a cultural habit of devaluing work in the home as, like, cooking, cleaning, keeping things tidy, doing errands. We're like, oh, that stuff has no value. That's easy stuff. Despite various studies that show that, no, that stuff also counts as work, and people who are given that assignment often have less free time than those that don't. Of course, that's not my problem. I don't have kids at the moment. But, yeah, this is just a really, like, rambling statement. How much time do I have left? I got like 5 minutes. Man, I'm going to talk about Five Nights at Freddy's too. If you've been here this long, then, yeah. You're like, I have, that's not worth reaching over to press exit, so I'll just keep listening, I guess. So I'm going to talk about Five Nights at Freddy's too, because I watched a little bit of that over the last 3 days. And, I was surprised when Five Nights at Freddy's 2 came out because it was slated for 2015 and it's an indie and the guy finished it early and he released it. And I guess it's because it was eagerly anticipated, the Freddy fever was just beginning to die down, and oh, if you don't know what it is, it's a horror game about animatronics. Based off of, according to game theories, it's based off of like a murder that happened at Chuck E. Cheese, well, a series of murders that happened at Chuck E. Cheese's, like, back in the early 90s. But there's no graphic violence or anything in it. Well, kind of. I wouldn't give it to your kid. Let me just say that. It's not like the Halloween episode of a cartoon. It actually is kind of terrifying and has grim, dark, gory, suggestive things that happen. I'm not suggestive, it's sexual. Not unless you Google it with safe search turned off. Which I have not done, but some of the Let's Players have, and I will just take their word for it that it is not pretty. Wow, I did not say anything of substance in the last 2 minutes. Oh my god, I gotta hurry, I'm gonna get a phone call, like, literally any second. So, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 released early, and I feel like maybe the developer was going through something I go through sometimes when I finish a project, I'm just so excited to get it out there and rush it out there, because I've been watching lots of Let's Plays of it, and it is not as fun to watch as the first one, despite the fact there's a lot more backstory packed into it. There's a lot more gameplay elements. There's a lot more going on. There's even more content to look at, if you get a look at it. I think that because he finished it ahead of time instead of rushing it out, he should have spent more time developing it, like playtesting and then going back and fixing it. Maybe more drafts of the game. Because once you have all the assets and everything created, not that programming is easy, no way, but if you are, like, a programming magician, I have seen, like, my husband go in and change, like, 3 lines of code, and then something just, you know, you can pick it up, move it around, this and that, you know, it works differently than asset creation, which is sort of a slog. Programming has a certain sort of magic to it that makes it easily edible, even in, like, later stages. From my limited experience. And I feel like he rushed it out because the sense of terror and tension, because what made Five Nights at Freddy's 1 so terrifying, I think, or fun, depending on, or not scary at all, but for me it was kind of like, ooh, tense, I guess tense is the word, is watching the people playing it psych themselves out. They would psych themselves out waiting for that jump scare, you know, checking all the cameras, wondering what was going to happen. And maybe it's because people were familiar with this game and it wasn't as scary, but I think it's because the developer kept them too busy to give them time to psych themselves out. Horror movies are when you hear that noise and you look behind you, and there's nothing in your house. Unless you're incredibly unfortunate if you had a home invasion, I'm very sorry. But for most of us listening, there is nothing in your house when you hear that noise. What makes it scary? It's not the fact that there was a noise, because when you're busy, like, you're picking up the dog and mopping and answering the phone, and you hear a noise in the back of the room, you're like, what was that noise? Whatever, I'm super busy, I don't care. But when you're, like, laying down at night and you have nothing to do, that's what Five Nights at Freddy's 1 was. You had nothing to do but watch and wait. And in this one, he keeps you so busy, the tension has been completely obliterated. And I think that he bothered with